Welcome to Season 3 of The Successful Strategist, a podcast on strategy, management, and governance dedicated to helping you address the most important questions any organization can ask. I'm Mitchell Muncy, a consultant who has co-founded or led 5 startups, for-profit and non-profit, spanning the media, public policy, and higher education. In these practical 5-minute episodes, I cut through jargon and myth to offer you the same advice I give my clients. Good morning. This is the second in a series of episodes on the roles that people in key positions play in your strategy. Last time, I discussed 2 temptations that CEOs face, which distract them from their fundamental obligation to define and communicate their organization's strategy, above all, to their own employees. But how should CEOs approach developing and implementing strategy? In this episode, I'd like to talk about 2 mindsets, fundamental predispositions that a CEO must possess to be a successful strategist. The first is the founder's mentality, described by 2 partners at Bain in a book of the same title. Though written for commercial businesses, the book applies to nonprofits as well. The founder's mentality has 3 elements. The first element is a sense of insurgency, an understanding of what makes the organization unique. An organization's strategy must be based on what the organization does or could do better than any other for a clearly defined group of customers or beneficiaries. Why would someone want to be CEO who doesn't believe the organization is or could be unique? That's a topic for another episode, but it happens far more often than you might think. The second is an owner mindset. Good CEOs are always thinking about their organization's strategy and the conditions that make it possible as though it were funded by their own money. This entails addressing obstacles and preparing for problems before the moment of crisis, as well as discouraging the development of bureaucracies within the organization that slow or obscure necessary choices. The third is a preoccupation with frontline employees and activities. Successful CEOs understand that they need to know the details of the organization's work and whether their activities fit into a mutually reinforcing whole. A preoccupation with frontline employees and activities doesn't mean the CEO makes the decisions for the frontline, however. And this leads to the second mindset I want to discuss, which appears as a practice Roger Martin calls choice chartering. Choice chartering goes beyond delegation. The CEO isn't simply presenting direct reports with a goal and sending them off to figure it out. If you're a CEO, you must first understand which choices only you can make. These can't be delegated away. Whom does your organization serve? And which of their needs will you address? You should take advice from your direct reports, but only you can decide. You must then be prepared to explain your choices and the reasons for them, from which you identify the choices that your direct reports must make. At this point, choice chartering requires that you offer your direct reports whatever assistance they need to make their choices, and agree on when and how you'll revisit those choices in light of results. Finally, you must ensure that your direct reports, in turn, charter choices for their direct reports. The idea behind choice chartering is that those closest to a decision should be the ones to make it. And if, for whatever reason, they can't make the decision, they should be given what they need to do so. Substituting for your direct reports, rather than helping them build their capacity, may appear efficient in the moment, but it isn't a long-term solution. A founder's mentality and a culture of choice chartering are no guarantee of a successful strategy, of course. But a CEO without them is, in the words of the authors of the founder's mentality, a restless babysitter rather than a devoted parent. My question for today is, does your organization have a clear hierarchy of decision rights? Do managers at each level understand how their decisions fit with those of the level above them and with the distinctiveness of the organization as a whole? If CEOs are responsible for strategy above all, why have a chief strategy officer? What's left for a strategy officer to do? I'll talk about this next time. Most people learn about podcasts from friends and colleagues. If this episode was helpful, please take 30 seconds right now to recommend The Successful Strategist to one other person, and be sure you haven't missed any of the previous episodes. If you'd like to receive my twice-monthly newsletter, which includes show notes and a summary of important ideas about strategy, management, or governance, sign up at thesuccessfulstrategist.com. I'm glad we could invest this time together. Remember, being a successful strategist doesn't require specialized training or unique insight, just a commitment to asking the right questions. The Successful Strategist is a production of Prospera LLC, a consulting firm providing strategy development, nonprofit due diligence, crisis management, and interim executive management to mission-driven organizations and philanthropists. Learn more at ProsperaLLC.com. This is Mitchell Muncy. Talk to you next time.